This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
So here's where I started my day, in a brand new coffee house not far from our studios. We take this for granted now, but remember when we lived in a world where a real cup of coffee was pretty much unavailable? We're talking pre-Starbucks, and it wasn't that long ago, when you couldn't really find a decent coffee bean or espresso anywhere around Boston, could you?
No, it was a complete wasteland.
So this is George Howell, who met me this morning in his new coffee shop, George Howell Coffee, in Newtonville. Howell was the first to introduce specialty coffee, real coffee, to this part of the world. Back in 1975, he opened the Coffee Connection in Harvard Square. Remember that? It expanded to a chain of 24 stores around the Northeast until he sold out to a then new and growing company called Starbucks.
It was a very emotional decision. You know, the headlines were David versus Goliath. They were marching in here with huge amounts of money, and it was becoming all about cafe latte and white mustaches with me on billboards in the MBTA stations. But at the same time, I was discovering what great coffee tasted like. I wanted to travel. I wanted to teach coffee.
Howell worked for Starbucks for a time, but then went his own way, searching the world for the best coffee, promoting single growers, and eventually establishing his own roastery in Acton. Now he's back in the retail game, still talking about coffee the way a French vintner talks about a fine Chateau Neuf de Pape, and recalling those early days when Boston was a coffee desert.
When I moved to Boston, we drove, and I stopped at Howard Johnson's. I was actually grinding the coffee that I brought with me in the men's room, right? So then I'd have my French press with me, and I'd brew the coffee on the counter at Howard Johnson's, and I'd have 5 or 10 people standing around me within 10 minutes asking me what I was doing and asking me questions. Kind of ironic.
So the Coffee Connection then was set up to fill that void, right?
Yeah.
And what did you do after Starbucks bought the Coffee Connection?
Yes. I started all over again, and I started sample roasting a lot of coffee samples that I would get from importers and such. I stayed in touch. So I spent 2 years coming into Brazil a lot, talking to farmers and such. We found American credibility to be an all-time low.
How so? I mean, over what issues?
The Brazilians, to a man, would tell me, and to a woman, would tell me, hey, you Americans talk a big game and then you nickel and dime us to death. We sell our top quality coffees to Europe and to Japan. And really, the leftovers, that's what goes to the States, a so-called gourmet.
Really? So no interest in the top quality?
No, because the industry, I think, really, throughout the 80s and into the beginning of the 90s, was more about how you serve things, speed of service, all of that. That's where it started to go. It was much less about really trying to get to explore coffee and where it could really take you.
Seems like it's also about flavoring the coffees. I mean, frappuccinos and adding caramel and lots of frothy milk and, as you said, the white mustaches and all that.
Yeah, I got to say, that's funny because, of course, frappuccino came out of Coffee Connection.
Oh, did it?
Yes. It did. Luckily, I always had my feet planted pretty squarely on the ground.
You mean on the ground of real coffee?
Yes, that's right.
So in a way, you're still doing what you've always been doing, pushing the idea of top quality coffee and nudging people maybe to dig a little deeper in their pockets to pay for something of a slightly higher quality or much higher quality.
Right, because the concern is that coffee has been headed for a long time now towards industrialization. This is agribusiness, and these are lower quality varieties that are being grown. They're more disease resistant, but they don't produce great coffee, period, no matter what you do. And we're seeing the great heirloom varieties and others disappear in the face of that. And unless there's demand for these great coffees, we're going to see as if wine went to Concord grapes.
Well, I was just going to say, you brought up wine, and it's interesting to hear you talk about coffee the way a vintner would talk about a wonderful grape and a great vintage wine.
That's really critical, and it starts with recognition and identity of the farmer. If the farmer remains anonymous and the coffee industry remains the way it was, which was all about blends, you go to the older cafes and such, it's this blend, that blend, the other blend, hey, the farmer has no say. There is no incentive for the farmer to do anything other than what is acceptable. and that is a downhill slope at best.
So here we are in Newtonville in a brand new coffee house, George Howell Coffee. Why this move back into retail?
Yeah, that's interesting. When I started in 2003, up until around 2007 or so, we got a lot of media attention. We were featured on Wine Spectator, the whole page.
As a coffee roaster.
That's exactly right. And the innovations we were bringing, and really bringing out, again, the whole idea of coffee as wine, single farms. Roasters who had really been transformed and were going towards lighter roast and single origins were now coming to the fore. You had them coming out of Oregon, out of California, and we lost the light. And it was really time for it to come back, to be introduced to these coffees made perfectly.
It seems like American palate and taste for coffee has always been, well, coffee is more swill than something, than something really sort of superb and carefully cultivated. Do you think there's really enough appetite out there for something this refined and this sort of thought about?
As the dark roasters on the West Coast came, you could say, you know, darkness covered the land. But from that approach, we see light finally returning.
So talk about that, because this is a theme that I hear about, dark versus light. You're an advocate of light roasting. For the person who's uninitiated in the art of coffee roasting, what's the significance of that?
Yeah, well, dark roasting is like adding a really thick, heavy sauce onto the coffee. So there's a smokiness that enters the coffee, one. You get buildup of a lot of caramel and bitter notes as well. And all of this smothers the actual intrinsic flavor notes that a great coffee can produce, right? With a lighter roast, it's allowing the intrinsic flavor notes to come out very clearly. And so this whole new generation of coffee people who started their businesses in the 90s really understood that light roast was the necessary way to introduce single estate coffees to any public.
So light roast it is. George Howell, thank you very much. Pleasure to talk to you, and good luck.
My pleasure. Thank you.
George Howell is founder and CEO of George Howell Coffee in Newtonville and the Terroir Roastery in Acton. There's more information about him and about coffee at radioboston.org.